I think there we go. Well, take your Bible, if you would. Look with me at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Again, folks, thank you so much for being here with us this morning. I appreciate it, and I hope that you will benefit from this morning. I'm so thankful for our musicians this morning. I think they did a wonderful job. Well, guests, welcome. Perhaps you are here, and this is your first time in church, or perhaps first time in a long time, and I'd like to welcome you here today. And perhaps you're asking yourself, what is it? What is the draw of people coming to church week after week? What is this whole, this Bible thing? What is the Bible really about? Well, I would say that the Bible gives us insight into questions that everyone at some point in their life will have, such as, why am I here? Have you ever had that question? What's the purpose of life? Is this it? Is there something that comes next? And I would say they are legitimate questions, and having questions like that tells us something about ourselves, about our design. This morning, I'd like to share with you, if I could, the main theme of the Bible. In other words, the answers to all of these questions that we have is really found and bound up in the main idea or the main theme of the Bible. And I'd like to talk about that briefly with us this morning. I'm a guy who likes to alliterate things, so this morning I have four D's, okay? Four D's for us this morning. I'd like to start with revealing that the Bible has a premise, and that is that human life has value. So if you're trying to understand what the Bible has to say, it's going to start there. Human life has value, and it does so because we were made by a creator in a very special and distinct way, distinct from the rest of the universe. We were made, the Bible reveals, in the image of God. Humans have a body, they have a soul, and they have a spirit. And we can see the differences that we have from plants and animals and trees and rocks in that way. We have a unique consciousness that brings order and creativity. We are able to establish right and wrong. We are able to show love and forgiveness. We are able to think on eternal things. We are distinct. So the main theme of the Bible starts out that God created and he made you and me distinct from everything else. That's the first D, distinct. In my house, I've been here a year, and in my house in Virginia, there lived six human beings and two animals. How many of you guys have pets at home? You guys have pets at home? We've had cats and dogs. We've had rabbits. We've had some other little rodent. I don't know, maybe a guinea pig. I don't remember what it was. But we had two cats most recently, and the cats' names were Mickey and Minnie, right? A boy and a girl, brother and sister, Mickey and Minnie. And so in that house lived Steve, my name, Sarah, my wife's name, and then four kids, Leah, Jack, Luke, and Ross, Mickey and Minnie. And I want you to take in your mind's eye and sort of think with me through the life of a pet. You know, if you're a pet owner, you understand that there is some cost that's accrued by being a pet owner. Have you experienced this? These medical bills, right? Oh my goodness. Now, think with me if you would. What if I had a financial crisis? I'm talking about serious crisis, like I've got to sell my house. I've got to get rid of the extra vehicle. I've got to jettison all of the non-essentials in my life. I hope that never happens to me. That's tough. But if that happened to me, I want you to think about the six human beings and the two animals that live in my house. Who goes? Right? Now, why are you laughing at that? Who goes? I mean, is it like immediately Sarah's the one that go? Well, all of us here thought immediately, well, obviously the insanely expensive cats, they need to go if you can't afford anything else. Now, I crossed the United States. Everyone would agree with that. And my question is why? Right? So if it's based on obedience, like the one that goes is because they're the most obedient. I've got some kids that would go before the cats, right? So it's not based on obedience. It's based on something else. Is it based on what costs me less? Well, I've got two wonderful females that live in my house, and they cost me a little more than those cats. Well, it's not based on that. In fact, it's not even a question, because we understand that we have intrinsically more value than any other thing, than a cat or a tree or a whale. We have value. We were made distinct. If we're going through the themes of the Bible, it starts there. We have a distinct value given to us by God. Do you know that the world has been led into some dark places when we forget that we are distinct from everything else? Would you agree with that? When we forget that human beings have an intrinsic value more than a tree has or an animal has. In 2 weeks, there is the anniversary of an important legal case that happened over 140 years ago. One of the catalysts in starting the Civil War in America was a Supreme Court case called the Dred Scott decision. Scott was a black man living in a state of the country where he was legally free from slavery. Men tried to bring him back into slavery, so somehow he got connected with a lawyer. He went to court over this situation, and the court ruled that because he was an African, he was not a citizen, nor could he avail himself of freedom. Although the Declaration of Independence states that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, this did not apply to Scott because Africans were not equal. The declaration only applied to those of the civilized world. There were two dissenting votes in this court case. One of them was Justice McLean, and he said this: "A slave is no mere chattel. He bears the impress of his maker and is destined to an endless existence. He has value simply because he is a human being." You know, we've been led into some pretty dark places in this world because we forget what the Bible teaches, and that's man has value. They were created in the image of God. They have a soul and a spirit, and they will live somewhere forever. They are distinct from the rest of creation. And since we are distinct, we have desires, there's the second D, placed in us that are different from anything else. So this week I was reading in Ecclesiastes, and Solomon mentioned that God has put eternity in the hearts of men. And what that means is God has placed inside every man and woman, child, desires that cannot be met simply by other relationships on this earth. Scholars have said that we have five transcendent desires in us, in each of us, that makes us different from animals. And they're not connected with survival. They are the desire for truth, the desire for love, justice, beauty, and peace. They are in each of us. They are not in the rest of creation, and they are transcendent. In other words, they need to find their answer in something bigger and greater than what human beings can offer. So you have inside you the desire for truth, or for knowledge. And not only that, but you have the desire for perfect or complete truth. Have you ever had one of your children play the "but why" game with you? Have you had that? Like you say something to them and it's "but why?" And you say something, "but why? But why?" Right? And it will continue until you stop, right? But why? Well, that's an adult thing. Adults do that as well. But why? Why do we want to know these things? Human beings want to know why. We want to know the truth. We want knowledge. And even when we get answers, we sense that there is always more out there we don't know. Science scratches the surface. Our knowledge is incomplete, and we know it. We sense it. Why is this? What seems the best explanation is that our conscious desire for perfect knowledge and complete truth has been written in our hearts by our Creator to know the truth. And it seems as if the awareness of knowing that I'm limited and really knowing what's out there and knowing completely everything I can to know points us to the fact that there is someone who is completely all-knowing. And when I begin to think in myself about these things, I do understand I have these desires that can only be met by something bigger and greater than me. And I've never met him. He's not on this planet. One of them is truth. I have the desire to know. Another one is love. And not only love, but have perfect love. Human beings desire to love and to be loved unconditionally. And we have an idea of what love should look like, and you should not get that from the Hallmark Channel, right? But we have an idea what love should look like. And then we get into a relationship and we realize that there is no perfect love. Have you found this out? Like our spouse has imperfect love. They are not as understanding as we think they should be. They are not as thoughtful as we think they should be. They are certainly not as forgiving as we think they should be. And it reveals our desire. Another human being cannot satisfy the transcendent desire you have for perfect love, to be known and to be loved, to know and to love perfectly. And even though we know that our spouse can never fix the love issue we have, we still seek love as if in all the wrong places. Our desire for perfect, unconditional love can only be met by the perfect God. Again, we find that God has implanted in each of us the conscious desire for perfection. I want to know. I want to love and be loved. Another thing is justice. We're distinct. And so therefore, I have desires in me, like justice, that I long to be fulfilled perfectly, and it never seems to happen. Justice. How many times have you heard someone say, perhaps your child, "That's not fair"? Have you said that? "That's not fair." We do the same thing. We feel outraged toward life and even God when we perceive that we have been not treated fairly. We expect that perfect justice ought to happen, right? Don't you expect that? And yet when it doesn't happen again and again, what wells up in us is, this isn't right. There needs to be justice. And we can never find it. We expect more justice and goodness than our finite world can deliver. Why would we desire perfect justice and goodness, especially when it is outside our normal life experience? Well, we expect it because the desires are transcendent. They are from God, the only one who is perfectly just. Another desire we have is for beauty. Perfect beauty. We are built to appreciate beauty, to be in awe, to be moved. This last summer, I went out west and did a wedding in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And we saw the beauty of the West, right? It's beautiful. And you sort of stand on the edge of the Grand Canyon and you look down and you feel this awe just welling up inside of you, right? Like, this is amazing. My family, my extended family, a year or two ago went on a cruise to Alaska, and they were in awe at the beauty. They saw beautiful icebergs and the stars and the snow. And then they got bored with it. Have you experienced that? You are in awe of something and then you get bored with it. Why does that happen? Well, God has put something transcendent in you, a desire that cannot be met on this planet. And while we love beauty, we are never fully satisfied. Where does this come from? I say to you, the Bible is correct in saying he has put eternity in their hearts. Another one that we have the desires for, the last one is for peace. For perfect peace. Peace within ourselves, peace within the world. This is a God-given desire, and it is elusive to most people. Just turn on the news and see people not at peace with themselves or others, right? There's a reason for that. There's spiritual reasons for that. One cannot be at peace with himself until he is at peace with the one who made him. St. Augustine said 1,600 years ago, God, thou hast made us for thyself. Our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee. Our yearning for more leaves us with emptiness, an emptiness that only God can fill. C.S. Lewis stated this, creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hungry, well, then there's no such thing as food. If I find in myself a desire with which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Folks, there was a man that lived that was so fabulously wealthy that he could afford to keep nothing back from himself. His name was Solomon. And he, if it's written, indulged in anything and everything. And at the end of his life, he said, this is emptiness. Because while I thought I could fix the desires in my heart that I have, I didn't realize that God had put them in me and they are transcendent, and stuff or people or relationships can never fill the hole that God was meant to fill. We are forever restless until we connect with him. So I say connect because the Bible teaches that every born is disconnected from God. So we're born distinct, we're born with desires, and yet we're born disconnected. That's my third D, disconnected. You see, God, our Creator, is holy. In other words, he's set apart. He's sinless. He's pure. He is righteousness. And all who will be with him need to be like him. And yet every person is born disconnected because no one is born like him. Now, we're born with his image, with the ability to be like him, but we are not born like him. And the reason for that is because every man, woman, and child was born a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I have four children, Leah, Jack, Luke, and Ross. And do you know, it's amazing, I was shocked that I did not need to teach any of them how to sin. Like I thought for sure they would be born and I'd be like, you know what, we're going to live on the wild side, I'm going to teach you how to sin. I didn't have to teach a single one how to sin. Can you relate to that? Do you resemble that remark? I didn't. Like, they were 6 months old, and they were, you know, basically saying, no, mine. Maybe not 6 months, a year old, right? I don't need to teach my kids how to sin. We understand this. We're born this way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so what we do as humans is we get frustrated because we have these desires inside of us. We don't have true peace. And so we try to find a way to get to that peace. Like we fill our hearts with stuff, or we try to please God by doing really good. And none of it works. None of it can fix it. Something bigger and better than our efforts need to fix it. So I'm a pastor's kid. My dad's a pastor. He's been a pastor for 35 years in Virginia. So I grew up on the church property, and I was one of those bad pastor's kids. Now, not as bad as some, but I grew up, and while theology and religion and Christianity was truly part of my life, I wanted nothing to do with it. I had an affection to do wrong. And if I could lie, steal, cheat, whatever I could do, that's what I wanted to do. I was disconnected. And I sort of knew it, but I didn't care. And then there came a time when God sort of turned the light bulb on in my mind. And I understood that while I was trying to find happiness and peace and purpose by doing all of this stuff, and I liked it, ultimately it would never satisfy the desires of my heart. And it would certainly never qualify me to have a relationship with God. And when I died, I'd be in trouble. For the wages of sin is death. The wages, you know what wages are? What you earn by what you do. The wages of sin is death. Not only do we die physically, but we're dead spiritually. And we will be forever separated from God unless we fix it. And we can't fix it. So God brought me to the point where I realized that all of my fooling around and being crazy and lying and cheating and stealing, while it may be fun, it's leading me into death. It leads me nowhere. So God did for me what I could not do for myself. God, out of love, sent his son to live a perfect life. And not only that, but to live a perfect life and then to die. You're in John chapter 3. This is probably the most famous verse in the Bible. Can you look with me? John chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, and then what's the next word, starts with a B, rhymes with relieve, whosoever, what, believes. So I'm born distinct. I bear the image of God. I've got a soul and spirit. I will live somewhere forever. I have these desires that God put inside of me. I can sort of figure them out. I'm never really satisfied with what I have and what I'm doing. I'm disconnected. And what God wants me to do with these three D's is the last D. It's called dependence. Depend. He wants me to depend. That's what the word believe means. Depend. So I'm a pastor's kid. I'm living my life. I'm 14 years old. And I tell you what, I got in so much trouble for the stuff I did. My dad believed in corporal punishment, if you know what I mean. Like he would wear me out, I mean, up to 14 years old, and I deserved it. And then there came a night when I was 14 years old where all the stuff I heard about God and sin and love and cross and Jesus, sort of all connected. And I remember I was sitting, I'm in the parsonage because my dad's a pastor. It's the house that the church owns where the pastor and his family lives. I'm sitting in my house. It's nighttime. I'm looking outside at the moon. And in that moment, God just sort of turned the light bulb on for me. And I realized that he did exist, that I was a sinner, that this stuff was real. And I got to tell you, I said, this is very hard to believe. Can I tell you, I'm 42. I know I don't look it, but I'm 42. I have 2 degrees in theology. I've been in ministry most of my life. And can I still tell you, it's hard for me to believe. But God doesn't ask us to comprehend all of truth. I don't have to comprehend how gravity works, right? Like, do I know the mathematical why? I just don't need to jump off the church roof, right? See, I have a hard time comprehending how sin and I can see like creation. I get like there's a creator, and I can see I do wrong, and I see I have frustrations in my life, and I'm never completely happy. But this whole Jesus and cross, this is hard for me to believe. And I'm going to say, you're right. But that doesn't mean it's not true, and it doesn't mean that you're not able to trust in it, depend in it. And folks, that night when I was 14 years old, I stopped fighting. I stopped depending on myself for pleasure, happiness, on anything good I can do. And I said, I understand what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his son for me. I cannot comprehend how this happens. How does God come to earth and take on sin? I do not understand how. I've never seen it. But I believe this is true. It makes sense. Something inside of me is saying yes to this. And I'm going to depend on it. It's called faith. And can I tell you that since that time, God has allowed me to grow more and more into faith and belief and change me from the inside out. I am resting on what Jesus has done. I don't understand how it works, but I rest in it. I'm depending on him. You see, I had to come to the point where I saw that my sin separates me from any type of goodness. It separates me from my creator, and I have to own it. And if I don't choose to own it now, I will own it for the rest of eternity. You got to own it and say, you're right. That's what confession is. You're right. You're right. I'm guilty. And I'm gonna trust what you did. I don't understand this unmerited grace and favor. You did this for me. I don't get it, but I believe it. I depended. And folks, can I tell you how much God has changed my life? I've been born again. I'm just a different person. He's done some actual real work in my heart. You see, once you become a child of God, it just doesn't end there. He begins to grow in you what's called the fruit of the Spirit. He begins to change you from the inside out. If he's real, then you can change for real. If he's righteous, then you can change into righteousness. That doesn't mean I'm sinless, but it means my affections for doing wrong have changed. And it means I have peace about where I'm going when I die. And he's my Lord. And I can't give you an explanation to explain all of it. I can simply stand here and say, the Bible is true. You are distinct from an animal. You do have desires in you that you will not find satisfaction for anywhere else on this planet. You are disconnected. And what God is calling you to do is simply depend on him. Do you know that you can find all 4 of these D's in John 3:16? Look with me. Look at the verse. John 3:16. For God so loved the what? The giraffes? Yosemite National Park? No, he loves humans who bear his image. You're distinct. There it is, first D. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes should not perish but have what? Okay, that's desire. That's your desire. So you were created for that. You were created to find supreme joy and happiness in who God is, not in who you are yourself. Not in your sin, not in your messed up thinking, but in Him. That's how you're created to live. Everlasting life. That's the fulfillment of the desires that I have. So once you're saved, once you believe, He begins to show you the peace and purpose that you long for. And it continues when you die. Everlasting life. You're distinct. He died for the world. He holds out to you everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave, that whosoever believes should not perish. What does the word perish mean? It means to perish. That's what happens because you're disconnected. Disconnected people are perishing people. Disconnected people will continue to perish for all of eternity. Disconnected from their life source. For God so loved the world that He gave, that whosoever believes, there's the dependence. All four D's are there. There's the dependence. Dependence, believe. So folks, let's continue reading here. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whosoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Is that you? Like, you're not as bad as you could be, but you certainly don't want the light because you don't want to be exposed. That was me. An affection for darkness. And then God said, Steve, what I hold out to you is so much better. Verse 21. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Folks, right now, you are either in the light or you are in the darkness. Right now, you are either depending on Christ or you are depending on yourself or something else to fix the mess in your heart. There's no middle ground. You're either in or you're out, light or darkness, depending or not. That's it. Okay? And so God is being gracious to you and presenting you with the truth again. This may be your last time that you hear it, but He's presenting you with the truth. And He's saying, please come to me. He's saying, you don't know what you're messing with. Come to me. I'm asking you, just understand and trust what you're hearing. The Word of God is powerful. It can change you. It's drawing you into this. Come to me. You may say, well, I do believe. What type of belief do you have? Because the Bible says that the devils believe. Like, the devils believe. Like, they've seen it, right? True belief starts changing you. True belief is an action. So right now, I am believing in this stage to hold me. I'm not believing in the sound system. I'm believing in the stage. I'd walked up on here saying, I'm not like thinking in the back of my mind, it's going to fall down right now. Anytime it's going to start falling on me, I'm going to go down. I'm just trusting it. That's what belief is. And so right now you're either trusting Jesus and what He did, and you are seeing Him as Lord, and there's a desire to serve Him and to worship Him because of who He is, or you're not. And so the Bible is about this big theme. You're born distinct from anything else. You have value. You have purpose. You have worth. You're distinct. And there's these desires inside of you that you try to fix and fill, but you never really can. And that's because you're disconnected. But dependence, that's the whole theme of the Bible. Dependence brings you what you want. Dependence is the best decision you can make. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. Do you know that my life seemed a lot easier before I became a Christian? Right? But the benefits far outweigh the struggle. And folks, I have a perspective on life, and I have a sure hope of heaven, and I have seen myself change on the inside to ways that I want to, that fulfills me. I found perfect truth in Christ. I have found perfect beauty and perfect peace and perfect justice and perfect love. It's in Him. You'll not find it anywhere else. So our desire for you this morning is not to put you on the spot. It's not to confront you with things. It's simply to share with you what we believe here and what we've found here. Our desire is to encourage you and to help you. There are people all over this auditorium who have been changed, and they have hope and they have peace. And their desire is for you to have that. You know, coming to Christ is simple as ABC. A, accept that you're disconnected. B, turn and trust in what He has done. Realize you got to own your mess. You're disconnected, and just turn and trust Him, and then confess Him as Lord. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I wonder here if there are people, as I'm listening, like part of you is saying, I don't want to listen to this, but the other part of you is saying, you know what, I sort of want to listen to this. It has nothing to do with what I'm saying. It has everything to do with what this book is saying. Because this book is going to connect with you. This book has your answers. This book holds what you're looking for. And I hope that when you go home today, that you'll begin to think about what I said. Or that you'll find a friend, or you'll even connect with me and say, what is this all about? You know, it sort of makes sense to me. The other sort doesn't. But it sort of makes sense. What is this all about? There are people all over this auditorium that would love to sit down and share with you what they've learned. Folks, God loves you. He sent His Son for you. You don't have to comprehend it all, but you have to understand it. You have to believe it. And there is such hope and peace and eternity waiting for you if you trust Him, if you accept Him. And if you do not, the pain and punishment that awaits